I must tell you that I feel so inadequate to stand before a group of people that have given of themselves to the cause of missions. We as a fellowship are blessed, 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 blessed. We salute you. We say thank God for you. Your commitment to carry out the great commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God richly bless you. Praise be to God. You see, the church was born in Pentecost. And Pentecost was given for the purpose of reaching the world. I said Pentecost was given for the purpose of reaching the world. It should not be a surprise to any of us that the Pentecostal church today is being used of God to touch this world. I'm so grateful to be a part of what God is doing. I am so pleased to have you, dear brethren, from the Church of God in Christ with us this evening. Bishop Patterson, one of your great men of the cloth, will be addressing our general council in St. Louis in just in a few weeks. He's bringing his singer with him, Brother Allen, you know who I speak. If that crowd can sit there, I'll be surprised. We're in for a treat. And you men are so blessed to be a part of that great fellowship, the Church of God in Christ. I had the joy of breaking bread with Ithiel Clemens, another one of your bishops, who I invited to Springfield just a few weeks ago. A very gracious man. We spent the day together. I can tell you, friends, it's going to be what heaven's going to be all about. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When we get there, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise. I'd like to dance around heaven with you. Someone said, I don't think we're going to dance. Well, not this kind of dancing I see today. I was in one of our churches recently, and on a Sunday morning, I looked down, and there was a row of ladies who had pink slippers on. I knew that at a given time we would have a little ballet lesson. I'm not talking about that kind of dancing. I'm talking about when the Holy Ghost gets in your feet. You see, you don't have to orchestrate. God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, is given to originate. There's a world of difference. My 84-year-old father went in the hospital. He has congestive heart failure. The nurse came in to him the other day and said to him, Reverend Trask, would you like to sign a living will? He said, what's that? She said, well, when you die, we'll give your organs to somebody else. He said, I don't know why I'd want to do that. He said, they don't work for me. Why would I want to give them to somebody else? Let me tell you, let me remind us as a church, what has made this church and the reason for God's blessing resting upon the assemblies of God, hear me carefully, please, is because of its heart for missions. And if this church ever loses that heart, I will write it down and you will find it to be fact. The church will begin to do a spiral downward. And we'll end up like so many have. For the Word of God instructs us, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. My oldest son, who was on staff with me, I had the joy of having him on staff for 5 years when I pastored that marvelous church in Brightmoor Tabernacle. I drilled that into that staff and into that congregation. You have to sow, you have to sow, you gotta sow. I don't care what you do, you gotta sow. It's part of it. That's God's principle. That's not the Assemblies of God. It was long before the Assemblies of God ever came on the scene. That's God's method. Well, he took a little church 2.5 years ago of 20 people. And 23 years ago, when I was district superintendent, the pastor that pastored our church in that community decided to that he was no longer going to be Pentecostal. He wanted to be evangelical. And he filled out his renewal form and said he didn't believe in the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. So I called him in. I knew him well, and I sat down with him. I said, Dave, you must not have understood what you signed here. No, he said, Brother Trask, I did. He said, I don't believe that we need the initial evidence. And I said, I'm sorry, you can't pastor our Assembly of God Church. I want your credential now, your ordination card now. He handed it to me, went back, voted the church out of the general council, stole the property from the fellowship. And over these now 23 years, we've had just a little handful of people in that community in a rented building. Well, when Brad felt led of God, when he finished his education, he said, Dad, I'd like to pioneer a church. And he said, I'd like to go back to Michigan. I said, fine. When he contacted Brother Leach, the superintendent, and Brother Leach sent him to this community, to this church, this little nucleus of 20 people. And he said to me, he called me, he said, Dad, I feel that's where God would have my wife and I to go. So they taking up the post. I said to him, Brad, listen, that community doesn't need another evangelical church. Is what it needs is a Pentecostal church. And if you will honor the Holy Spirit, and if you will let God move in that place, if you allow the Holy Ghost to have his free course, if you begin to sow somehow, God will build a congregation. He went down to the local pop distributor and said to the owner, he said, would you give us some cases of pop? He said, what do you want to do with them? He said, I want to give them away. So the gentleman gave him many cases of soda pop. He got that band of people together, and they stood on the street corners last summer. And when the light turned red, they stood there with a cold can of pop and handed it to the motorist and said, this is compliments of Brighton Assembly of God. We want you to know we love you. You can imagine the stir that it created. I'm talking about sowing. Sowing. Doesn't cost you anything. There's so many methods and ways of sowing the gospel. Well, in these 2.5 years A week ago Sunday, he had 255. They have saved $417,000. Have now bought 22 acres of land. They're getting ready to break ground next month for a new facility. It's God's principle. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. So simple, we've missed it. I don't know how we've done it. But that's missions. And it'll be Pentecost. Hear me carefully. It'll be Pentecost that will carry this gospel of the kingdom around the world. For ye shall receive power to be. It's more important what we are than what we say. I want you to go with me in your Bibles. I said to Shirley today, I said, how long did I preach last night? I won't tell you what she said. Go with me to the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I want to talk to you about the order. God is a God of order. Go back to the book of Genesis and you will discover, see there, and all through the Word of God, it's a pattern of divine order. It's beautiful. It's marvelous. None of this hit and miss stuff. Well, I'll try it, and if it works, good. If it doesn't, I won't. God never operated from that premise. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. And then day seven, there was divine order given. In the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah, this very familiar portion of Scripture, there is contained within those first 9 verses a divine order for missions. If I can give it to you in an outline form, I would use the letter of the alphabet, V. V as in victory. Let me give it to you, because I don't know if you'll hear it as I move through it. First of all, you'll find the vanquished hero. And then you will discover a vision of God. And then the third, there will be a verdict. Number four, there'll be the victory. Number five, there'll be the voluntary response. And number six, you'll find the voice of commission. Bow your heads with me. Jesus, this is absolutely so critical, this cause of world missions. Because if the world fails to be reached, it's not your fault. You gave everything. You gave up heaven. We hear the words again, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank you, Lord, because we're saved tonight, because that was of your heart. But not just for those of us who are here, but for the world. I pray, God, that you will stir us and move us. Not by the words of man, but by the voice of thy Spirit. Speak into our spirit, man. And we'll be careful to give thee praise. In Jesus' name, amen. In the year that King Uzziah died, this is more than an historical event. If you were to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, you need not turn there. Trust me, it's there. We read about this man mentioned in the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah, Uzziah. He was 16 years old when he began to reign. Interesting. 16. What can a 16-year-old know about government? But it was the case. The scripture says that he pleased God. In fact, in verse number 15, you will read this. He was marvelously helped until he was strong. And then in verse number 16, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And it was downhill from there. In fact, the scripture tells us that he was smitten with leprosy and lived in what was called a several house, a place for lepers. And this is where Uzziah ends up and finishes up. What a tragedy. I said, what a tragedy. But let me remind us tonight that look over the landscape of the church. And there are those who started out wonderfully. But the end is a tragedy. Let me remind us as the Assemblies of God that simply because we are known as a Pentecostal, simply because God has blessed this church and having given over $110 million to foreign missions, almost $200 million for the cause of world ministries giving in 1994, does not guarantee us a place in the history of God's annals in days to come. If we find our place, it will be because we have been obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit, not because of a legacy that's been handed to us, as wonderful as that is. Uzziah was the hero for Isaiah. He had the privilege of viewing this man, and rightfully so. But God in his divine providence had to remove the hero. Now follow with me carefully, please. I'm afraid that we within this fellowship have established some gods or some heroes that we are unconscious of, that we have taken to and they have taken the place of a vision that must capture our hearts. I think that we all can understand that it's possible to become spiritually proud. Proud of our accomplishments. And I don't wish to demean and I don't wish to diminish the blessing of God, because without question, God's hand rests upon the church. But we dare not, Assemblies of God, rest upon the accomplishments of days past. In the face of the challenge of today, in the face of the opportunities that today presents, God, stir us. God, remove the heroes and the gods and the obstacles that would hinder and keep us from seeing his face once again. It was in the vanishing of the hero of Uzziah. Now, I stated to you in the beginning that note the order, and it is important that you follow that with me carefully, please. For it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. Now there's a sovereignty in God that we don't understand. And these who run around the country and have all the answers and they're trying to answer questions that are not even being asked. I'm amazed at some of these people. But let me tell you, church, there's such a sovereignty of God that just captures my heart. For the same writer in the book of Isaiah said this, as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. There's still, I read it today in the daily newspaper, how they have found a star that is spun into space, supposedly. 15 million light years away. I can't even comprehend that. And yet the writer said, as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Can you grasp with me for just a moment, please, at the possibilities there are for the Pentecostal church, for the men and women, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled people who will allow the mind of the Holy Ghost to be planted in their hearts and minds to pursue the purpose of God in evangelizing this world. It's no wonder that most missionary societies look upon this fellowship with envy. And I say that carefully. I've sat with some in recent months and have wondered, have asked me, Brother Trask, what makes you people tick? I've tried to make it so simple they couldn't miss it. I said, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the person of the Holy Ghost. It's God. It's God breathing into the hearts and lives of men and women. Hallelujah. Whether it be a young lady who feels a call to China, whether it be a young man that goes to Russia, whether it be someone that goes to the islands of the sea, whether it be someone who goes to the inner city of America, whether it be someone who goes to the campuses of America, you can't explain that. You can't tell, the world doesn't understand that. To be willing to give up their resources. I had a businessman come into my office the other day. If I mention his name, those of you from Springfield, Missouri wouldn't recognize a name like that, for he's known in the city. He is articulate. He is climbing the corporate ladder. They continue to promote him at a record pace. He is making a great sum of money. He sat across from my desk, hot tears streaming down his cheeks. He said, Brother Trask, I don't know what's happening to me. I couldn't care less about the corporate structure. He said, my boss said to me the other day, I want you to become the vice president. If I gave you the name of the corporation, you would recognize it, for it's recognizable across America. He said, I want you to become vice president of the corporation with us. You know what? He saw in him something. Now, you can't define it for him because he has not the mind of the God. But he saw in this man's spirit and in his being something that was able to capture the hearts of men and women. He sat there across from my desk and wept like a baby. He said, I can only tell you, Brother Trask, that God has called me to the ministry. And I'm willing to chuck this whole business. I'm willing to tell him I'm gone. If God will open for me a door, I'm ready to go. It doesn't matter what the salary is. Now you can't understand that. That's the Holy Ghost doing that. I'm talking about a sovereignty of God. But it'll only come about as a result of a vision.
and I saw the Lord. I can tell you what has to happen in the assemblies of God. We need to refocus and allow our eyes catch a glimpse of the Christ of Calvary. Of this one, of this leader of the church, his name is Jesus, who moved about when on planet Earth with compassion and with passion to reach a lost and a dying world, who gave of himself and looks out over the planet of Earth tonight and said, "Oh, planet, I'm not willing that any should perish." Heaven full. Hell empty. Won't be that way, but it's not God's fault, nor is it the Son's fault, nor is it the Holy Ghost's fault. For while we sit in this building, you get a hold of this, while we sit in this building, the Holy Spirit broods over the landscape of the world. He moves behind the doors of homes. He moves into automobiles. He's able to move into communities and will settle over that place like a blanket cloud, like a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I know of what I speak. It's miraculous. It's supernatural. The whole plan is supernatural. I was pastoring there in Detroit, and I had a daily radio broadcast. A man by the name of Dave Delpine was driving down the expressway one day without any religious background at all. Lived a vile life. He was a building contractor. God suddenly entered into that automobile unannounced. And spoke in an audible voice to him and said, "You are a sinner. You need to get saved." He said, it scared the daylights out of me. He pulled his automobile off to the shoulder of the expressway, dropped his head across the steering wheel, and began to weep like a baby. And said, "Hey, that's you, God. I don't know anything about you, but I know there's something different in this car. And I heard something." And the Spirit spoke to him again. "You are a sinner. You need to get saved." And Dave in that moment was gloriously and marvelously transformed. He reached over and turned on his radio. And I was on the radio closing the broadcast. And the Spirit said to him, "You go see that preacher." He went to the next exit, turned around, came back, made his way over to the church. Came into the church office. "Is the pastor in?" Peg, my secretary, said, "Yes, he is. I must speak to him." And we sat there in my office, and he told me of the experience of the supernatural sovereignty of God. Let me tell you, Assemblies of God, Dave Delpine was a part of that church for years. But let me tell you again, the sovereignty of God. There's a work of the Holy Ghost. Go over there to the book of Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Let me just read it for you. I discovered this the other day. It's been there all the time, I know, but I only discovered it. And he says, "So is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and arise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how." I don't know how God does this whole thing. It isn't for me to figure out. But what I must do, I must have a divine revelation of who Jesus is. Hallelujah. So my faith will drop within my spirit man. And I will stand in the face of adversity and say, "I believe God." God's the God of the supernatural. Hallelujah. Who would have ever dreamed 5 years ago a military might such as the USSR could be dismantled in the matter of hours? There isn't a person in this building with the fondest imagination could have ever dreamed of something like that. But I want you to know, the God of the universe, I said the God of the universe, still rules in the affairs of man. And he said, it's time, it's time. time. It's time. This thing is wrapping up. It's time for the gospel to penetrate. It's time for the people of Russia to have a vision of who I am. And he just began to put his finger on things, and it disintegrated. And today, the gospel, an unparalleled manner, is being taken into that nation. I'm talking about God's ability. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear. And after that, the full corn in the ear. The earth bringeth forth. Can I say it to us? Let's not become proud of our accomplishments. Let's not be consumed with counting the wheat that's in the barn when you got fields that haven't been touched with the message of Jesus Christ. Let's not be all wrapped up in our successes when a world out there is lost without Jesus Christ and God's only begotten Son. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. I'm talking about a vision. And he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. Now let me show you, the six wings are representative of service. Service. I must tell you, I have little time for people who have been touched with this glorious gospel, saved by the blood of the Lamb, transformed by the power of God, that don't have time for service. I look at this beautiful lady by the name of Mary, out of whom had been delivered from demon spirits. And she says, I must find a way to serve him. She brings the alabaster box and she breaks it over his head. I was studying the word the other day. I was shocked to discover how many times the religious crowd were out of touch. Read it. Read the Gospels. It'll frighten you. But the disciples said, the religious crowd, the ones that should have been in touch with what was going on. Why was this waste made? Now let me tell you something, Assemblies of God. We got people in our churches today who are of the mindset it's a waste for missions. Don't you listen to them. For they'll sap the life out of this church. They are only concerned with consuming upon self and the indulgence of self. They have not a mind. They've never seen the vision. They've never caught a glimpse of the Son of God. They never felt the heart of God at all. Jesus said to that group, you leave her alone. Listen to this. For they stripped him of everything he had, tried to take his character. But the only thing he could take to Calvary was the aroma. Read it. And he said, this shall be a memorial for her, for now and forever and for time in eternity. And from that day to this, it's been proclaimed around the kingdom and around the world. Of the odor, for she did it to my burial, he said. I'm saying that service must be a part of what we're involved in. That's what's made this church. I know of what I speak, for I had those dear white-haired grandmas who were on Social Security, who are in fixed incomes. I've watched them put in their missionary check month after month after month. I knew of the sacrifice. That's what's made this church. Not out of those who've given of their abundance, for those who've given out of sacrifice. You know why? They've caught a glimpse. I said they've caught a glimpse of eternity. Look at this second factor, please. And the six wings are representative of service. And with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly, and one cried unto another. Now we find the voices, and it's representative of praise. I'm grateful for the praise that God has given to the assemblies of God. Oh, may we never lose it. May we treasure it. Out of the innermost being would flow rivers, rivers, rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I'm tired of standing in the church. Sit down. But praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. I don't care. Sit down, lay down, stand up, kneel down. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 I owe my salvation to Him. I'm on my way to heaven because He saved me. I said, He saved me. Don't be cheap with your praise. Holy, holy, holy. That's what's made this church. We've been a holiness people. Now, there's nothing wrong with the church being in the world. It's when the world gets in the church. Let me help you to understand that clearly. There's nothing wrong with the boat being in the lake. It's when the lake gets in the boat. We will never, hear me, we will never, never execute fully God's purposes unless we're a holy people. God's not hard up. He said He'll have a people for His name. And if the assemblies of God chooses not to be holy, you heard what I said last night, He'll have a people of holiness. For He's coming for those who look for His appearing. Without holiness, no man shall see God. I would have loved to have been there with Isaiah. He saw them crying, holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The earth is a quarter full of His glory. Oh, no, you don't read it right. The whole earth is full of His glory. Do you understand that? Austin, they call it Sin City. I said to my wife, every city in America is Sin City. Springfield, Sin City. Not holy city, Sin City. The whole earth is full. Full. It's all, let me show you something. It's all how you view it. It all depends how you're looking at it. Brother, if you're looking for the sin, you're going to see it. But if you're looking to see His glory, if your eyes have caught a glimpse of the glory of God, the glory of God, the glory of God, hallelujah, hallelujah. No wonder the songwriter put it, I get so thrilled with Jesus every moment of the day. I get so thrilled with Jesus. He's the truth, the light, the way. I get so thrilled with Jesus. He satisfies my longing soul. I get so thrilled with Jesus. He's the one who makes me whole. The problem is that we've taken our eyes off the one who must be the focus of our attention. for he can make it happen. I said, he can make it. Now watch the order, please. First, there's the vanishing of the hero, Uzziah. And then we find the vision of God. Now I bring you to the verdict. Not that someone put upon him, but that he puts upon himself. Then, look at that conjunction word, then, said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Now I want to remind us, church, it's not for someone to come around and to tell you, you got sin in your life because you're going through a time of testing. That's self-righteousness. That's what that is. But when the spotlight, when the floodlight, when the glory of God, hallelujah, when he throws it upon us, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. He was not a sinner. I'm not talking about the sinner. I'm talking about the church. He was a part of First Assembly of God there in the city. Listen to this. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. There's so much here. Is it any wonder that when the Holy Ghost comes upon people and they, in the initial evidence of speaking with other tongues, the very part of the body that James said is untamable is touched? I had a preacher friend of mine. His name was Fred Steinman, a Jewish evangelist from Lockport, Illinois. He was dying with cancer. In fact, was laying in his bedroom when the doctors had opened up his abdomen, and they found out he was so full of cancer, they just packed it together. Didn't do a good job. I mean, it was miserable. They should have never been permitted to do that. But was laying there dying. The doctor was in his room, turned to his sister Steinman and said to him, your husband maybe has a half an hour left. A little lady down the street was in prayer, and the Holy Ghost said to her, you go up the street and pray for Fred Steinman. She said, me? Yeah. So she makes her way up the street, knocks at the door. Sister Steinman comes to the door and says to her, yes. And she knew the lady. Can I help you? God sent me to pray for your husband. Well, my husband is at the point of death. The doctor's in his room now. He's unconscious. I don't know. I'm just being obedient to the voice of the Spirit. Jesus sent me. Give us simplicity again. I said, give us the simplicity of faith again. Sister Steinman said, well, come in. Took him in the back bedroom, and the doctor was standing there, and she went over and she prayed a very simple prayer.